Again, I'd like to say that we're grateful to be in the land of the living and to have opportunity to be back under the tent tonight. It's always a great thrill to me to be able to come under the tent with the people of God and share in the wonderful things of Jesus. You know, there is some people in the world that do not have a life except with Christ. And I'm one of those people. Some people in the world do not have a life except with Jesus. That's all they live for. They wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus. They think about Jesus all day long. They lay down at night thinking about Jesus, what time they lay down at night. And when they awake in the morning, they awake again thinking about Jesus. That's all they desire. That's all they want. It isn't because they can't have anything else. Like Paul said one time, we have the power to do this or that. We're just like anybody else. We can do those things, but we don't have any desire to do those things because our life is Jesus. Paul said to live is Christ. The only desire I have to live is Christ. If it was not for Christ, I would not desire to live because the only happiness to me is Jesus. All other things are vexation of spirit. Now, it's wonderful to have a wife. God ordained it. It's wonderful to have children. God ordained it. Wonderful to have a little home in this life. Wonderful to have the things of this life. God made the birds and God made the trees. And God made the great big ocean and the beautiful stars. Everything, God made it just for you. The love of God, He made it just for you. But as long as it's under the curse, everything is vexation of spirit. And it leaves me without a desire for the things of this world. I love to come to worship with God's people. Thankful tonight, being Blue Monday, as they call it, or the first day of the week. I don't know why they call it that, because, you know, the Bible teaches that He rose on the first day of the week. That appeared to Him, and really, the morrow after the Sabbath, that is to us, you know, is Monday. Now, I know to the Jews it's yesterday, but I'm talking about to the Gentile people. And it should never be a blue day. It really should be the greatest day of all because it represents the resurrection. And, you know, being acquainted with God the way that I am, knowing about Jesus the way that I do, and understanding Jesus the way I do, my heart is thrilled. My cup runs over. I don't know why people are always trying to add something to their Christian experience, you know, that has to do with the world to have joy. You know, they'll take something in the world and they'll feel like, now, if I just had this, or if I just could add this to my experience, I'd have great joy. You know, a lot of evangelists feel like if they could just get $30,000 out of every meeting, they'd have great joy. But I don't see that you have to add a dime to salvation to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I don't see where you have to have a Cadillac. I don't see where you have to have a special thing over here, over yonder. It's just joy unspeakable and full of glory without any additives. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. So then this salvation that I'm speaking of is sufficient just within itself. You don't have to add anything to it to have abundance of joy. My cup is filled up and running over. I don't have to make believe, you know. A lot of people, they make believe. They say, now I'm a Christian, I've got to be happy. I've got to show everybody that I'm happy. You know, and they're really not happy. But I'm talking about being a Christian and really genuine and being happy. Having something on the inside that's automatically happy. Not something that you have to work up. It's automatically happy. Because it's happiness itself. It's joy itself. And that's the way it is in my heart. I'm just happy. I got something down there that is happy. And it keeps me happy. I don't have to try to keep it happy. It keeps me happy. I don't have to make joy. Serving God is joy. All right, so it's a wonderful experience to be a Christian. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me tonight. Turning over to the book of Joel, would you like to stand with me while we read the word of the Lord? I'd like to say that we appreciate every one of you that's come out to be with us. Appreciate having you here with us. I see Brother Ted King and his family. The other night, I thought it was Ted sitting over to the left, but I wasn't sure. But I believe Ted's been here every night so far. Is that right, Ted? Appreciate him being here with us. And others that I see that I've learned to love and appreciate in times gone by that I think are such wonderful people. We appreciate them so much. Our brother over here on the right came down to the campground a few days ago, and I didn't get to talk with him. He stayed just a few hours, and he left, and I was so disappointed. But I'm glad to see him here under the tent tonight. Appreciate you being with us, brother. God bless your heart. And others that are here with us, it means so much for you to come out and be with us. You know, we're here for one thing, and that is for the good of your soul. I'm here because I want to help you, if I can help you. Now, you might say, Brother Pike, you can't help me. Well, if I can't, it's all right. But now there is some that I might be able to help. And them that feel that I can help them, I'd like to help them if I can. And I believe I can. And so then I'm here not to get you money. I'm not here to try to indoctrinate you or convert you over into something. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to get you away from your church, away from what you are convicted in. I'm just here to preach the Word of God. And everybody just do whatever they want to and whatever they think after they hear it. They can do what they want to with it. It's just my job to preach it. All right. So if you've got your Bibles in the book of Joel, if you'll turn with me. Chapter 3. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountain. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. All right, just reading a little of the scripture tonight. Hallelujah. Ain't you happy? Glory to God, I'm happy. I love the Lord. Said, well, Brother Pike, you don't have any problems. You'd be surprised at the problems I have. I tell you what, you ever heard that song, A Preacher's Problems? We have all kinds of problems, but somehow or another it just don't affect me when it comes to my joy in God. My joy in the Lord is so much greater than all of my problems, till that's what helps me overcome my problems. If I didn't have any joy in the Lord, I couldn't overcome my problems. But having joy in the Lord, that makes me overcome my problems. I don't see how people survive in this life that don't have the joy of God. I really don't. Having the oppression that they have, it's no wonder they turn to the worldly entertainments. They have to do something. They have to go to the ball games, have to go to the movies. They have to go out to the races, out to the seaside or somewhere, because they don't have anything to give them any strength. They don't have any means of overcoming. They have to do something. We stopped last night down here by a little 7-Eleven just for a few minutes. And would you believe that out of, I suppose, about 20 minutes of sitting there, hardly any person came through those doors that wasn't drunk or doped up. I'm talking about men and women alike. They came through those doors drunk and doped up. And I thought, well, surely one car will pull up in a few minutes and there'll be somebody sober in it. But it continued to get worse and worse. What is it? I know we can curse those people. I realize that. You can turn around and curse them. And I know someday God will curse them if they don't repent of their sins. But it's like somebody said one time, it's better to light one little candle than it is to curse the darkness. Isn't that right? Whole lot better just to hold up one little candle. The Bible speaks of the spirit of man on the inside, saying that it is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. God desiring truth in the inward parts. And it's a lot better for me to light my little candle and hold my little candle up to where those people that are in darkness can have a way than to curse those people. Is that right? Now, I reprove people that follow my ministry, people that believe in what I preach. A lot of times I reprove them and give strong reproof to them, because you're supposed to reprove them and lead them on into the things of God. But those people out there are in total darkness. They don't have anybody to take their hand. They don't have anybody to help them. And they're groping in the darkness, and they're looking for somebody just to show them a light. You know what's wrong? Somebody said, well, I know what's wrong, Brother Pike. It's just that wicked, sinful, adulterous generation that Jesus spoke of. And I believe that to be true. But the thing that's wrong is the church, the Laodicean church world. That's what caused the people to be like that. See, one time they had a light. One time there was mothers and daddies. One time there was sons and daughters that could stand up with a light. Isn't that right? There was people that had a light and you could see the light. Whereas the Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works
and glorify your Father in heaven. Tell me, where is the good works of the church tonight? Somebody says, I'm a church member, but where's your good works? See, God didn't say being a church member would be a lie. Is that right? But it tells us that we've got to have some works for Christ. See, I've got to hold up a line. I've got to have some works so that men may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. That's why the Bible tells us to show our faith by what we do. Show our faith by our works. Let's do something for God. Let's get together and do something for God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I believe in doing something. Let's build a building. That's all right. That's good. That's fine. We got some down yonder. We got a campground. We've got some nice, big, beautiful buildings. But that doesn't mean that you're spiritual. Somebody said, well, we'll build a university. So what? The Catholics did it. The Baptists did it. The Methodists did it. What have you done when you finished? Somebody said, well, we'll build a hospital. So did the Baptists. So did the Methodists. So did the Catholics. Come on now. But I'm talking about being spiritual. Hallelujah. God isn't wanting us to build universities, hospitals, all of these kind of things. What God wants us to do is get the revelation of Christ in our heart. Hallelujah. It's all right to build hospitals. All right to build universities, all those things, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's all right. But I'm telling you that you can't substitute the Word of God and the Spirit of God with buildings. God will give us buildings. God will give us automobiles. God will give us all these great things that we need. He said if we seek the kingdom of God, He'll give us all of these things. But brother, doing that is no proof of faith in God. Hallelujah. The world loveth its own. If you start doing things of the world will flock around you and work with you. But I'm talking about doing something spiritual for God. Standing up for God and being a testimony for God. Hallelujah. Did you know the church world is so unspiritual tonight? I'm speaking as a whole now. The church world is so unspiritual that you can say a spiritual thing and it'll go clear over their heads and they won't even know what you're talking about. That's the truth. You can, under the tent a lot of times. In my tent meetings, I hardly ever preach revelation. You know why I don't preach revelation? It isn't because I don't have revelation. Paul spoke of abundance of revelation that God had given. But it's because the church world can't even receive revelation. So you have to feed them with milk. You just have to exhort them a little bit. Have to preach healing to them. Divine deliverance to them. You have to preach prosperity to them, that God will bless them. All of that's good. God wants to do that. But folks, God wants somebody to get spiritual. Hallelujah. Paul said one time, I would speak unto you as unto spiritual people. See, God wants us to have a spiritual mind. He said the meat is for the strong. They who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. See, God wants us to be spiritual. In one place, He exhorted the church. He said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Is that right? God wants you to have the spirit of revelation. The church needs the spirit of revelation. That's what the church needs, is the spirit of revelation. What we should be praying for is the spirit of revelation. You say, why should we have the spirit of revelation? Because it's going to take the revelation to translate the church. It's going to take the revelation to translate the church. You're not going to get in by just any old way. You're going to have the revelation. You know, we stand around as the church world and we say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. I've got God in my heart. You say, well, what are you doing for God? Say, well, everything is sealed, settled. Everything is all right. I'm just waiting for Thessalonians change to take place. And after a while, there's going to be a rapture and God's going to catch us all up. We're all going to come together and God's going to catch us up in the air and that's going to be it. But did you know that isn't right? That isn't right. I've said this a lot of times. Did you know there's no such teaching as rapture? Come on, folks. Now you say, they are crossing my doctrine. I'm not talking about your doctrine. When you got a doctrine that's not the Word of God, you don't need the doctrine. The Bible said, preach the Word. Hallelujah. He that God sends will speak the Word. There's no such teachings as the rapture. There's no such word as the rapture in the Bible used in those terms. See, what is it? Yeah, you say, well, Brother Pike, it means the same thing. It certainly does not mean the same thing. You start talking about rapture, you're talking about something altogether different from the change. Did you know that? Paul said we are changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. What God wants is spiritual people. We need to go through a change. Hallelujah. Not sit around and wait for a rapture. But what we need to do is go through a change from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from faith to faith, from spirit to spirit. Hallelujah. From faith to faith. Hallelujah. So then we need to go through a change. You say, but I'm waiting for the rapture, Brother Pike. But listen, did you know that if we fail to make the change, that we will go through the tribulation period? Did you know that the only way into the kingdom of God is by translation, and that's by faith in Christ? Did you know that while the world is waiting for the rapture to come, that God has got just a few people that's going from glory to glory, from change to change, from translation to translation, and moving into the kingdom of the living God? Paul tells us in his word that first of all, that we should be translated into the kingdom of God by faith in our heart. The law and the prophets until John, since that time some men came preaching the kingdom of God. And they didn't come preaching the kingdom of God as oaf over yonder. They came preaching the kingdom of God is now at hand. Is that right? The law and the prophets were until John, since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. Not that the kingdom is over yonder, but the kingdom has come in this world down here. The kingdom of God. A man came to Jesus one time. Jesus asked him a few questions and he answered him discreetly. Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And they preached the kingdom of God. And he preached that men should press their way into the kingdom of God. See, all of this darkness, all of this fear, all of the complex of life. See, God is telling you to press against it with your faith and press your way into the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? It's at hand. It's at hand. It does not come by observation. The Jews missed it because they were waiting, as we say, on a rapture. They were waiting on something that they could see, but they missed it. Jesus rebuked them and said, my kingdom's not of this world. Oh, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, even the more that proves that you should wait for the coming of the Lord, that the Bible speaks of the coming of the heavens. But see, if you're talking about the heavens, if you're talking about the clouds, you're still talking about this world. Is that right? But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. It is a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. The Bible said they endured as seeing him who is invisible. God is a spirit. Why should I be spiritual? Because God is a spirit, the invisible God. Paul said, the invisible God whom I serve with my spirit. God is a spirit. And we've got to realize that the only way to that spirit is through the name of his beloved son, Jesus. If I ever get to the fountain of life, the eternal spirit, I've got to go through the name of Jesus. Is that right? I'm the door, Jesus said. No man can come to the Holy Spirit except through me. I'm the way to the sheepfold. Hallelujah. And so then God is a spirit. That's why we need the spirit of revelation. That's why Paul said, I would that you be spiritual. Being natural, having buildings, having prosperity, having plenty to eat, having good clothes to wear, that doesn't mean you're spiritual. The world has those things. That's not a proof of God. In having abundance of things, that's no proof of God. Salvation is not in meats and drinks. Not in the abundance of what one possesses. But it's in faith in God. When God comes back to this world, he isn't going to rapture somebody off that's got a Cadillac and leave somebody that's got a Chevrolet. God isn't going to come down here because somebody's prosperous and say that you took up $30,000 in the offering. I know that you really got faith. And leave somebody out under poverty. If he does that, he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He went to a little widow that didn't have anything to eat. Her and her son would have starved to death, but God sent the prophet to them. Isn't that right? Over there with as many widows in the land. The Bible teaches that Eliseus was sent to one. Just to one widow. Just to one leper. You understand what I'm saying? Poor people. So then it doesn't mean because you possess the things of this world that you've got God. But there's one thing about it. If you've got God, God will give you the things of the world. Hallelujah. We should seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Then these things shall be added unto us. Hallelujah. Like I said, run through the filter. Glory to God. Sanctify them. Then honor the Lord with your substance, and it won't be like the golden wedge. Hallelujah. If you shall know the truth shall make you free. Isn't that right? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? If I tell you the truth about a situation, you'll be free from the wondering. You'll be free from the fear. You'll be free from the complex of life. You'll be free from wandering around trying to figure it out. You'll know the truth. And the truth has made you free from those things. Free from sin and death. Hallelujah. Free from false doctrines. How many know there's false prophets in the land? Hallelujah. You say, well, how can I tell the difference? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. For God sent his word and healed them. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word still is God. Hallelujah. So then tonight, what we need to do is to be spiritual. We need to be spiritual. God wants us to be spiritual tonight. See, walk with the invisible spirit. Enoch walked with the invisible spirit for over 300 years. And he got so spiritual that after a while, his faith took hold. And he went into the great, mighty kingdom of the living God. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that Enoch went in by faith? The Bible said Enoch did not see death by faith in God. I heard a lot of people, you know, they'll make the statement. They'll say, well, Enoch's got to come back and die. Elijah's got to come back and die. Moses has got to come back and die. And I've explained a lot of times in my sermon where their people are wrong, why they don't have to come back and die. But if Enoch has to come back and die, then the scriptures is broken. For the Bible said he was translated by faith that he should not see death. Hallelujah. And if you escape death, you're going to do it by translation of faith into the kingdom of God. It's going to be the same way. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the revelation of Christ. If I can have the revelation of God, I can have the faith of God. If I can have the faith of God, I can have the deliverance of God. So then Paul tells us that our bodies, our spirit, our mind, and our soul is to be translated into the kingdom of God. Is that right? So then in my inner spirit tonight, by faith in God, I have been instantaneously, through new birth, by faith in God, translated into the kingdom of God. And tonight my inner man is in the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting for a rapture. I'm not waiting for a judgment. I'm not waiting for somebody to come down here and tell me and judge me and tell me whether or not I'm good enough to be in the kingdom of God. I'm already in the kingdom of God. I'm not waiting to see if I'm going to be a son of God by hit and miss of a judgment. I'm already a son of God. I've already passed from death unto life, never to come into condemnation. You believe that? I've often said this. Do you actually believe that God is going to come down before the tribulation, rapture the saints of God away, take them up there as his bride into the kingdom of God, dwell with them 1,000 years, and then after the 1,000 years when the judgment comes, bring them before the judgment and see if they're good enough to be his wife? How do you believe that? You see how easy it is to get mixed up? Somebody said, we'll all appear before the judgment throne of God, and God will decide whether we're good enough or not. That shows that you don't know where you're going. You don't know where you've been. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you are. See, God is judging you right now. The Bible said judgment shall begin in the house of God. God said concerning the ministry, shall not be him speaking, but God that speaks from within him. And the Bible said, whosoever sins he remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins he retains shall be retained. Whatever he binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Is that right? You say, how can a minister do that, Brother Pike? If this is the temple of God, and if God's speaking, and if God is the word, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word, and God purifies our hearts by faith, then whatever that God from within this temple is saying to you, according to your believing in that word, God retains your sins or remits your sins. Your faith in God's word for judgment begins in the house of God. Is that right? Some men's sins are confessed and they go before them to the judgment. Confessed in the house of God, remitted by the man of God. Goes on yonder to God, and they're washed away to never be remembered again. Some men's sins follow after them to the judgment, following after them because they're unconfessed. And inasmuch as they're unconfessed, they cannot go before them. Therefore, they follow after them, and they must stand before the judgment throne of God and be judged according to the evil deeds that they've done in their body. But beloved friend, I can assure you tonight that it's right here in this present world that we pass from death unto life. It's in this present world that we're translated into the kingdom of God. It's in this present world that we make our hearts right with God. And it's in this present world that we receive eternal life. Right here. You understand what I'm saying? Here in this world. Here in this life, I receive eternal life. Right here, right now. Not day after tomorrow. Right now, I receive eternal life. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, the same to every generation. God is the Word. He's the same to the prophets. He's the same to the Gentiles. Of this day, He'll be the same to those out here in the millennium. God is the Word. From Him comes faith, the same Word, to every generation. You follow me? All right, so the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And here we are tonight talking about the Word. What we need to do is hear the Word. Believe in the Word. Try to understand the Word. Go with the Word. Do what the Word tells us. It's no wonder the church world is so disgusted. It's no wonder that they're not excited. It's no wonder that they look on the world that the world hath all the excitement. Because they're sitting down doing exactly nothing. The church world is sitting down doing nothing. No wonder the world looks exciting to them. But beloved friend, when you come into the place where we've come into and you realize that every day there's an exciting challenge from God to understand the great deep mysteries of Christ. And every day there's something exciting that's taking place in the heavenlies, and you're moving from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from the greatness of God to greatness in God. Then you become so excited you're not interested in the world. Hallelujah. You're not interested in the world. I can't hardly wait to get on my knees at night. I'm telling you the truth. Over in the middle of the morning when everybody goes to sleep, and I know that everybody's asleep, and I get miserable if they don't go on the bed. When we get out there in the little trailer, get over in the wherever we're staying, you know. When we get there, if everybody don't get quiet and go on to bed, I get real miserable. And I think, my God, why don't they go to sleep and shut their mouths so I can talk to Jesus? Hallelujah. They want to talk about cars, and they want to talk about land, and they want to talk about money, and they want to talk about this, but I want to talk about God. Hallelujah! It's exciting to me. That's a great and limited God. Hallelujah, that you so easily limit by your faith. Limiting the unlimited. Hallelujah. That's what displeased God in the wilderness. They limited the unlimited. By their unbelief, they limited the unlimited. I believe God for my finance. I believe God for the safety of my household. I believe God for my ministry. I believe God for my health. I believe that God will provide. I believe that God will lead me. I believe that God will guide me. I believe that God will be my furnishing and everything that I need. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so it's exciting. When you get into the realms of faith and you realize that by faith you can do anything. Just think of what Jesus said in the book of Mark. He said that if you say anything, just say anything and believe and don't doubt in your heart and you shall have it. Come on now. You tell me that's not exciting. You find a king or a queen that can tell you that. You find a president that can tell you that kind of talk. Just say what you will. Hallelujah. You know, you stand here and say, thus saith the Lord, Charlotte shall be thus and thus. Somebody say, now God don't say the word Charlotte. God don't know the name Charlotte. God's not interested in the word Charlotte. But see, that isn't the way the book reads. The Bible said, whatever you say, God will bring it to pass. You can say Charlotte, you can say Atlanta, Georgia, you can say Texas, you can say Denver. You can call an individual's name, you can say what you want to. And God said, you say it and I'll do it. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. You tell me that isn't exciting when God works with somebody like that. Just say, son, go out there and do whatever you want to. Say what you want to and we'll take care of it. Hallelujah. What if your dad was a millionaire tonight and he come here and he said, just go out there, buy what you want to, go where you want to, just send me the bills. Now you tell me that those that are in the flesh wouldn't be excited. My Father said, son, do what you want to, whenever you want to, just the way you want to. Just try to abide by my word, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Is that right? Decree a thing in your heart, and God will bring it to pass. Oh, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that sounds so great. That sounds surreal, but really, you know, people just can't do that, but they can do that. Oh, you know that people just can't do that. You say, I said, well, why can't people do that? I would ask you tonight, I said, why can't people do that? Say, well, I done tried it and it didn't work. God bless your heart. You mean to tell me that you really tried it? You know what you did? You said, glory to God, I decree this thing in my heart. About 20 minutes, you done undecree it. It didn't come to pass. The next day you done wishy-washy it around and wallow it around so much and wave it around so much until you done forgot what you decreed anyway. And you're so double-minded a lot of times you don't know what you want anyway. You decide you want something this day and tomorrow you want something else and the next day you want something else. Like God spoke to me many years ago. When I first started out in this thing, I said, God, I want this. And the Lord said, all right, I'll bless you in it. It wasn't but a little while and I wanted something else. I wanted something else, and consequently, I didn't get anything. And I said, God, what's the matter? I said, you said all these things, and I don't get anything. He said, son, said, you're so double-minded, I can't give you anything. Like a grasshopper, you decide you want this today, and before I can grant it to you, you decide you want something else tomorrow. He said, all I ask you to do is make up your mind what you want. And I did, and it worked. And what I ask God for, God gives it to me. It works. But the Bible tells us not to be double-minded, not to waver. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. When you ask God for something, ask him in faith. A lot of people say, but Brother Pike, I don't know how to believe. If I know how to believe and use that faith, I'd do it. Faith is a simple thing, folks. Faith comes in the heart by the hearing of the word. I asked the question the other night, do you believe there's a Jesus? Somebody said, amen. I said, do you believe there's an Elijah? Somebody said, amen. I said, do you believe there's a Moses? Yes. Do you believe there was a Noah that built an ark? Yes. Now then I ask you the question, isn't that believing the word? Come on now. Is that believing the word? Faith in the word? Isn't that faith in the word? That's faith. That's the same kind of believing that God requires for your healing. When the Bible said, by his stripes you were healed. Come on now. If you believe there was a Noah, why come you can't believe you're healed? Because Jesus said you're healed. Somebody said, I just can't make myself believe that. You know why? Because the devil's talking to you. The devil's reasoning with you. You got your mind out here, you got it polluted. But I'll tell you something, friend. If you'll start praying, if you'll start looking to God, if you'll start turning to God, God will do something for you. The Bible said if there be any sick among you, let him pray. Come on now. Somebody said, well, I'm sick, but I thought you was going to pray, Brother Pike. It didn't say for me to pray. Did it? It said for you to pray. Hallelujah. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean the Bible doesn't tell you to pray for me? It does tell me to pray for you, sure. But not until you pray. See, it said, if there be any sick among you, let him pray. Then call together the elders of the church, those that are spiritual in the church, not some natural person. Some natural overseer that don't even know God, but some spiritual leaders, it's God's leaders in the church. Call together the elders of God and let them anoint them with oil, or let them lay hands on the sick, let them pray, and God shall save the sick from death and raise him up. Is that right? Isn't that a glorious promise? What a glorious promise. You say, Brother Pike, I wished I could believe that. Why don't you believe it? I challenge you to believe it tonight. Why not start believing tonight? This is a good time to turn around. This is a good time to get converted. That's what conversion means. It's to get a conversion of the mind. The Bible said if you convert a man, know that you saved the soul from hell. Did you know that? If I come out there and I talk to you, then I saved you from hell if I convert you. Somebody said, but there's not but one Savior. But the Bible said, I will bring saviors, saviors in the plural. I will bring them up upon the mountain. Hallelujah. Every time Israel had need, I sent them a savior. And the Bible said, if you convert a man, you've saved a soul from hell. You've become that man's savior. Somebody said, but I don't believe in but one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Hallelujah. I come to be a Savior to you tonight. To tell you God tonight. If I can convert you, if I can get you to listen to my words, if I can get you to do the thing that I ask you to do tonight, hallelujah, I can become your Savior tonight. Somebody say, I love God. Don't shudder and shake now. Let's stay on the trail. If it's the word of God, say amen. If it ain't, say shut up, preacher. Come on now. If you don't know, just be quiet until you can learn. Amen. That's the way I believe it. If I'm off of the word of God, you need to be bold enough to say, shut up, preacher. You're not preaching the word. If I am preaching the word, you need to be man, woman enough to catalog it and listen to it and say, amen. And if you don't know either way, you need to sit still until you can learn. Amen. Ain't that fair? That's fair, folks. That's the way to do it. So then tonight, God wants to do something for your faith. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to start a little wheel turning on the inside down here. Instantaneously by faith, I'm translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. I am instantaneously translated into God's kingdom by faith in my spirit. And I immediately escape the second death. And I pass from death unto life. I immediately pass from death unto life. Because I escape death. I escape the second death. My inner man, my spiritual being. See, there is a spirit, there is a spiritual death, there is a spiritual life. Is that right? There is a spiritual judgment. There is a natural man, there's a natural death. The Bible calls the natural death sleep. I spoke of it the other night. But see, I pass from death unto life. What kind of death? From the second death. I'll never come into condemnation because my spirit is translated into the kingdom of God. It can never be turned into the lake of fire. Never. It has escaped death. Jesus said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me, he shall pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. My inner man has been translated into the kingdom of God and on the inside of making melody in my heart to God. And we're having fellowship on the inside with God. Hallelujah. And this outer man that Paul speaks of, in that death that he speaks of, that death is but a sleep. When Lazarus lay down to sleep, Jesus said, I go to awake him because he is asleep. But when Paul got the revelation, he said, children, there's no need to sleep either. God has took you over the second death, which is the greatest breach over of all. Why worry about that little thing called sleep? He said, behold, I show you a revelation. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. There you are in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trump. Is that right? From corruptible to incorruptible, from terrestrial to celestial. From mortality to immortality. At the sounding of the last trump, the Bible said that Christ himself shall descend from heaven with a shout in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah! And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him. So shall we ever be with God. But it says just before that, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm sitting around waiting for the rapture. I got to be ready. Well, what about the dead in Christ? They ain't doing a thing. I said, they ain't doing a thing. Is that right? Oh, somebody said, well, that's the way it is. But see, there's a difference. Those died back there. Those died. They can't do anything. The dead know not anything. They can't do anything. Nothing is required of them. Whatever they went down with, that's what they're going to come up with. Isn't that right? If they died in the faith, they're coming up. If they didn't die in the faith, they're not coming up in the first resurrection. Is that right? All shall come up in the second resurrection. Is that right? Even the wicked dead shall come up. Over there after the millennium, the wicked dead shall come up and stand before God to give an account, to be judged for their evil deeds that they did while they dwelled in the body as a spirit tabernacling in this little body of clay. That spirit's going to give an account to a spiritual God of what he done while he tabernacled in this body down here. You follow me? But see, we're living in the great moment where we do not have to sleep. There's no need to sleep anymore. We preach healing. We preach divine deliverance. But brothers and sisters, the hour is at hand now where we should believe that we don't have to go to the grave. We don't have to be put in a casket. We don't have to lay down in the dust. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Somebody would say, well, I believe that, Brother Pike, but not this generation. Well, what generation is it? Come on now. What generation is it? I know what generation it is, but I'm wondering if you know which one it is. What generation is it if it's not this generation? Got to be some generation. Hallelujah. Then what generation is it? It's the generation that'll take hold to the faith of Enoch. Hallelujah. The Bible said by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And brother, when we come to the faith of God and receive God's word, when we come to the revelation of Christ and begin to believe, that generation will escape death altogether, and they will not sleep. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe, don't you? Hallelujah. I don't know what you're planning to do about it, but I'm planning to believe. I'm planning to believe. That's the generation God's looking for. You know, we live side by side out here, neighbor to neighbor. And we wonder a lot of times, say, well, why? Why is it God does something for that man and God doesn't do anything for me? But see, here's the difference. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's his day, but my day will come. Your day won't never come. Don't kid yourself. There ain't going to be no good luck days, children. There ain't going to be no good luck days. You say, I believe in luck. There ain't going to be no good luck days. You can be sure of that. God don't work on luck. Is that right? There won't be any good luck days. That man didn't do it by being lucky. Something happened. You say, but Brother Pike, he inherited a million. Yeah, but somebody worked for the million. Hallelujah. Somebody worked for the million. Like today, I talked to a brother, Cheryl, a very rich man here in Charlotte. Perhaps some of you are acquainted with him. I talked to him about Jesus Christ. He's got a great food industry, got a small chartered airline down here and owned the S&W cafes. I've talked to him and his wife about God a number of times. I was talking to him today. We talked at length today. Brother Cheryl said, Brother Pike said, my dad was a minister. Said my granddad was a minister. And the Lord said to me, and thus comes the blessing of God down upon the Cheryls. You understand? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. God's seed begging bread. Is that right? The blessing of Christ coming down upon them. Somebody earned that million somewhere. Brother Cheryl may be enjoying it, but somebody paid the price somewhere for it. Today I'm enjoying salvation, joy unspeakable and full of glory, but somebody somewhere paid a price that I might be able to do it. That's why I'm enjoying it tonight. And glory to God, I'm taking full advantage of it. Hallelujah! Somebody died at Calvary that I might believe, that I might be able to have faith in God. And brother, I'm using my faith tonight. I'm not going to sit on the sideline and pine and go through grunts and ailments and everything else saying, my God, what have you done to me? My God, what have you done to me? I'm going to check up and I'm going to see what the problem is and get my faith in action and get the benefits that God's got for me. The devil will keep you accusing God and somebody all the time. Isn't that right? Look at Eve. The first thing she said, the serpent done it. The serpent done it. Come on now. Said the serpent done it, but God told Eve not to eat of it. What business did she have listening to him? Come on. If I'm telling the truth, say amen. I said God told Eve not to do it. Eve didn't have any business talking to the serpent about it. God done told her what to do. Hallelujah. What business have you got talking to the devil to begin with? The Bible said darkness and light don't have any fellowship. You say, but Brother Pike, this is the way I think in my mind. But the Bible said for you not to lean to your own understanding, didn't it? What business have you got leaning to your own understanding when God told you not to do it? To be carnally minded is death. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, you got to reason things out, but the Bible forbids that. You say, well, you can't just sit down and be a dummy. Use a little sense now, Brother Pike. You got to reason things out, but the Bible forbids that. God said, when you go to reason, come and let us reason together. How do we reason? Take the word of God. Take the mind of Christ. See what God's word said about it. And reason according to his word. Like the song said, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike, wonderful to be a Christian? I say that so much, you know. But listen, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Not wonderful to be a church member. Not wonderful to belong to the Baptist church, the Methodist church, the Pentecostal church, the Catholic church. It doesn't say anything about that. It doesn't say call the Methodist, the Baptist, the Catholic, the Pentecostal, and let them pray and the sick shall be healed. Does it? God set up that rule before there ever was a Catholic church, before there ever was a Methodist church, before there ever was a Baptist church. Isn't that right? He set that up for the Christians back there. Didn't he do that? Didn't God do that? He said, call together the elders of the church. What church was it? They never had got started back there. What church was it? It was the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. That one has got its name in heaven, written down in the Lamb's book of life. Isn't that right? So then it's good to be a Christian, my friend. It's wonderful tonight to be a child of God. I'm a son of God tonight. I've got the privilege of living and breathing eternally. I don't ever have to die. I'm making no plans to die, none whatsoever. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm getting ready to die. Well, I'm getting ready to live. I'm not making any plans to die. I don't care about death. Me and death is dissolved fellowship altogether. A lot of people act like death's God's first cousin. But the Bible said death is God's enemy. God hates death. God did everything to destroy death. And I'm 100% on God's side. I don't like it no better than he does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When that little old mother that's tried to be faithful down through the years and raising her little family, raising her little children, got out there in the cold and worked for them. And then she lays down there and grasping her breath and death closes in. I hate his vile, wretched presence. That little mother breathing, trying to get a breath, begging and pleading while the devil closes her life out. Could that be a friend of God? No, my brother. That's what makes me happy. It's no wonder some people are sad. It's no wonder the way they believe, the way they think, the way they let things go in their heart. How could they ever be happy? They're sitting around thinking that great day, my God, when death comes, I know you're going to get me, God. I know you're on my trail. No matter if I pray, if I fast, no matter what I do, God, I know you're on my trail. You're going to kill me someday. You're going to send death after me someday. But see, that's not right. Paul said all of our lives we were subject to bondage because of the fear of death before we were born again. But brother, we're not subject to bondage anymore. Why should we fear death? Death hath no power over us. No power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what makes me happy. I know that and believe that. And I'm happy. Down in my heart, I'm happy. I think, well, glory to God. Brother Pike, you don't have to die. You don't have to go to the casket. You don't have to have them to throw the dirt into your face. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be in poverty. You don't have to worry. And I say, glory to God. And I get happy. Now, wouldn't that make a person happy? Somebody said, well, I know all of that and I'm not happy. You don't believe it, though. See, knowing it don't make you happy. Believing is what makes you happy. I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe it. I think, you know, think what it's like now. You walk around and you say, glory to God, I'm never going to have to die. Praise God. All them worries is gone behind me. All them troubles, all them dark days. Everything I ever done, everything I ever worked for, I laid it up. I worked, I slaved, and now I got to leave it all gone. I ain't never going to do that. No, never going to do that. See, Solomon said, I labored hard to get all of this. I did it by wisdom, and who knows but what, I'll leave it to a fool. But see, I say, Lord, I'm laying up my treasures in heaven where thieves can't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. All of my treasures is waiting on me. I'll live eternally. I'll never grow old. I'll always be alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And my strength shall be as the sun shineth within me. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, do you really believe that? So help me God. So help me God. Amen. He said, now, wait a minute. The Bible said all lives will have their part in the lake of fire, but so help me God. I believe that. I pass from death unto life. I shall never come into condemnation. Never. I am alive forevermore. I once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm alive, my brother and sister. That's what makes me happy. So then I love to testify about God, tell the good things of God, do something for God, do something for the people, and realize that God is with us. And I'm going to say these few things and then close. Now listen. Instantaneously, I've been translated into the kingdom of God now, right now. See, passed from death unto life, right now. My spirit's gone out of the world of death, never to die anymore. Now, that is an internal work, an instantaneous work, by faith in the word of God. When that happened, now don't run off and leave me. When that happened, the seed of God went into my heart. Is that right? When the seed of God went into my heart, you know what happened? I got to where I couldn't sin. I might say, now, I know it's time to leave this tent meeting now. I know that everybody's got a sin, but I got out of the sinning business. Hallelujah! I learned that I don't have to sin. Not today, not tomorrow, not the next day, nor yesterday. I don't have to sin. The Bible said the seed of God remaineth in me and I cannot sin because I am born of God. It didn't say I might not sin or perhaps I might not slip up if I hold tight. It said I cannot sin because I am a son of God. Could you picture a son of God sinning? Could you picture a daughter of God sinning? How could anything be born of God sin? Isn't that right? You know, I've said this a lot of times, so it'd make it easy for people to understand. A dog begets dogs, a cat begets cats, and a bird, birds, and a lion, lions, and elephants, elephants. Is that right? And man begets man, and God begets gods. Come on now. The Bible said we're born of God. Do you believe a God can die? Do you believe a God can die? Somebody would say, now, I know you've jumped the gun now. I know you've jumped the gun. You've done it now. But see, Jesus stood in their presence and Jesus said to them, ye are gods. Ye are gods. They wanted to stone him to death. Jesus said, for what good work do you stone me? And they said, we don't stone you for opening the blind eyes, nor unstopping the deaf ears, nor making the lame to walk. We don't stone you for any good work, but said you being a man, a mortal creature, you make yourself God. Jesus said, isn't it written over there in the Old Testament, back there in the book of Psalms? Isn't it written in your law that I have called ye gods? But because of your unbelief, he said, you'll die like a man. Come on now. Hallelujah. The Bible said that we pass from death unto life. Christ has placed his seed within us. We cannot sin because we're born of God. And brother, if you can't sin, you can't die. Because the sting of death is sin. And if there is no sin, there's no sting. Oh, death, where's thy sting? Christ plucked it out at Calvary. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? If the enemy of death is no longer. For the Bible said, I have destroyed him that hath power over death. Is that right? The seed of God remaineth in me, and I cannot sin because I am born of God. Therefore, I am a God, Jesus said. Somebody said, now you just wait a minute, Brother Pike. It's appointed unto man once to die, and you will die just like all of us. And I agree that it's appointed unto man once to die, but when you get beyond manhood, you're doing all right. Hallelujah! You say, I'm not a man tonight. I'm a son of God tonight. It's not appointed unto sons to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. I died. As a man, I was born into the world. As a man, I died. Paul said, reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Christ, indeed unto sin, and alive to Christ by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Buried beneath the water, that old man is gone. Is that right? It was appointed unto him to die, and he had to die. But glory to God, it's not appointed unto sons of God to die. No appointment with death. The Bible said God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners, those that were appointed unto death. Loose them. Did he do it? I have come to loose those that are in prison, to set the captive free, to preach the acceptable year of Christ or of God. So then it's not appointed unto me to die. Jesus met my appointment at Calvary. Reckon yourselves to be dead by the appointment. I'm dead, folks, to sin. He that is dead to the law cannot transgress the law. Therefore, that which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. I cannot transgress the law because I am not under the law. But they that have fallen from grace, they are under the law. Is that right? But I am dead to the law. Therefore, I am not in the flesh, but in the spirit. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I'm in the mind of Christ tonight. You know, Jesus stood there talking to Nicodemus, and I am going to close, just hold on. He was talking to Nicodemus, and while he was talking to Nicodemus, he looked over at Nicodemus, and Nicodemus began to ask him certain questions, and he said, "Art thou a master of Israel and know not these things?" Jesus looked at him and said, "Listen," said, "no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven." And then he looked at him, he said, "the Son of Man which is in heaven." You know, Nicodemus didn't know where to go. Here's a man standing on earth, right in his presence, right in the presence of a great scholar, right in the presence of a master, and he said, "Look at me, I'm in heaven." Nicodemus didn't know where to go. Jesus said, "Are you a master and don't know these things? Are you a master and don't know these things?" Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody say, "You're talking about the rapture. Where did the rapture go? Where did the rapture go?" I'm talking about the Bible. I'm talking about the Bible. Preach the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm talking about God's word. You that sit around and wait for the rapture, expecting something like that to happen, you're going to be sitting here and go through the tribulation. But they that believe the word of God, like Enoch, from faith to faith, from word to word, from revelation to revelation, will be translated to the kingdom of God, and they'll bypass death. They'll redeem that outer man. And as Paul said, "Behold, they'll not sleep." Why should I sleep, Brother Ted? Why should I sleep? See, why should I sleep? I understand why men slept before Calvary. The Bible said they all died in the faith, not having received the promise of God. Abraham didn't. Daniel didn't. Come on now. I said they didn't receive the promise, but the promise was made to Abraham. Saying, "Abraham, through thy seed, even Isaac, even Jesus, all nations shall be blessed." And they lay tightly in the grave and couldn't get out. And God said to Daniel, said, "You'll lay and rest in your place until the time of the end." Is that right? And then came Pentecost. There came the Holy Ghost as a mighty rushing wind. And old brother Peter waxed bold, receiving the revelation of Christ. And said, "Folks, at last the promise is here. This is the promise that is unto you and your children, to many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." This is that spirit of resurrection, that Holy Ghost that comes inside of you, that will quicken your mortal body to show that you're resurrected from the dead to die no more. Have you got just a minute? I'm going to close. I don't want to crowd you. I just want to say a few things here right quick. Where is the first resurrection? You know, there's a lot of dispute between people about the first resurrection. Isn't that right? Where is the first resurrection? Some are post-millennialists, some pre-millennialists. Some say before the tribulation, some say after the tribulation. But where is the first resurrection? "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death," that is the lake of fire after the millennium, "over which that hath no power. And the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years was finished." That is, the wicked dead didn't live again. Is that right? What is the first resurrection? And somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, the Bible says immediately after the tribulation, Jesus came back on the white horse." And they said, "This is the first resurrection." So somebody said, "Well, you see, Brother Pike, the first resurrection is after the tribulation period." Somebody would say, "Well, that can't be, because Thessalonians said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And the church is not going through the tribulation, somebody said. And here we go. Seesawing. Somebody said, "Bless God, it's before the tribulation." Somebody said, "Bless God, it's after the tribulation." And I say both of them's wrong. Oh, ain't that just like a puffed up know-all? That's what some of you think. I say that both of them is wrong. What they need to do is search the word. Jesus said, "You do err not knowing the scriptures." Don't you know that was an insult to those great leaders, those men that had spent their life in the Bible, those men that were dignitaries, and those men that were great Bible scholars and elders and all them kind of things? Jesus, just a little old boy standing there, said, "You just err," said, "you don't know the Bible." That is, you don't know the word. Isn't that right? Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, if it ain't over there in Thessalonians, if that's not the first resurrection, when the Bible said the saints of God shall rise first, the dead, saints shall rise first, and you say that that's not the first resurrection over there where the Bible said that this is the first resurrection. See, I didn't say that. That's what you said. I said both of them was wrong. Then you say, well, where is the first resurrection? Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. When Christ came from the grave, that was the resurrection. When he first come up from the grave, when he rose up over there, and the Bible said the saints of old got up and walked about the city, that was the first resurrection. Now somebody would say, but wait a minute, Brother Pike, how could that be the first resurrection? How could that be and still not be contrary to the word? All you got to do is give it a chance. If you don't give it a chance, you'll die in your sins. Because your doctrine is wrong, and faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Hallelujah. Somebody say, now, Brother Pike, I spent all of my life studying this, and then you think I'm going to sit here and hear that. That isn't what it is, beloved friend. What it is, you got a following, you got a conviction, you got some people. You ain't man enough to turn around and stand up for the word and back up and say that you're wrong. That's what it is. You got your dollars coming in, you got your little click. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Bible said his fan is in his hand, he shall thoroughly purge his floor. And when he starts fanning, the chaff jumps up and the winds blow them out. Purging the floor, fanning the floor. And the chaff jumps up while the wheat hugs the floor. And the contrary winds of doctrine blow them away. Somebody could preach divine healing. Say sweet things to us. Say smooth things to us. Don't cross our doctrine. You'll get our preacher upset. You'll get our people upset. Glory to God, Jesus got them upset everywhere he went. And the Bible said them apostles turned the city upside down. Some people don't stay around to hear whether or not it's right. Glory to God, they say it's wrong. But God don't want some folks to hear it. Hallelujah! God has blinded their eyes that they might not see. Because they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind and what they feel about it. They've got something to protect. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must have some saints of God who are still sticking like glue. All right, what does the Bible teach about it? How can that be the first resurrection? Brother Pike, you're talking about that being the first resurrection at Calvary. How could that be the first resurrection when the Bible said that's the first resurrection over here after the tribulation period? Somebody said, that's why I'm leaving. That's why I ain't going to listen at it. All right, then tell me something. What about your dear brother over there, the Congregational Holiness people, that says the first resurrection is after the tribulation? What about it? Come on now. What about your dear friends, the Church of God, that says it's before the tribulation? What about that? Somebody said, well, they're both children of God. Can't be a child of God and lie. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You say, well, they're not lying, then they must not understand. That's the only way out. Both of them can't be right. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right, then what are we going to do? We're going to check it out and see if it's right. Okay, then the Bible says what? Does it say in Thessalonians that that's the first resurrection? No, it don't say that. So that would automatically make the Church of God wrong, and all them that believe before, wrong. Come on now. Hold on. It does say after the tribulation that that's the first resurrection. If you're going by the word of God, you got to bow down to them and say that the saints is going through the tribulation. Do you believe that? Somebody said, of course not. All right, then let's get together. What have we got to be puffed up about? What have we got to be puffed up about? Something's wrong. If one side said the church can't go through the tribulation, I believe that side of it. If the other side over here says this is the first resurrection after the tribulation, I believe that because that's what the Bible said. He said, but Brother Pike, you can't believe both of them. I can. Now, they might not, but I can. Hallelujah. I can believe line upon line and precept upon precept. Is that right? You know why? Because I understand the truth, and the truth makes you free. How then can that be the resurrection over here, that where they come up at Calvary? How can that be the first resurrection? I ask you a question. How could that be anything but the first resurrection? Is that right? How could it be anything else? Are you listening? Now you say, Brother Pike, how could that be the first resurrection? All right, listen. God knows that people account for things that they see with their eyes. Is that right? God understands that people account for things that they see with their eyes. If they cannot see it, then it isn't right. The Bible said Jesus Christ was the first fruits of them that rose from the dead. I am the resurrection. How could that be anything but the first resurrection? He said, I am the resurrection. Now, he said, but Brother Pike, that means the saints of God that's got to come up out of the grave. If that's true, then why is the Bible said they'll not all sleep? Some of them be changed and never go into the grave. So you can't count the resurrection like that. If you do, the others miss the resurrection because they went in the rapture, you say. So it couldn't be that. You can't account for the resurrection if somebody died. Is that right? So then you say, what do you mean? I mean that when Christ Jesus come up out of the grave, just a few people saw him. Now listen, that was the first resurrection. And the saints of God and them that died under the faith came out. For the Bible said they all died in the faith, not having received the promise. But when Jesus Christ, being the promised seed, went to them, they were resurrected from the dead. And they came out of the graves, and the graves couldn't hold them. Then why is it that we do not account for that as the first resurrection, Brother Pike? Because Jesus Christ slipped away to glory, sat down up there with his Father, and the world can't see him. They don't know that he's resurrected. Come on now. You and I know that he's resurrected. I'm in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Now somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the first resurrection, that's them people that come out of the grave. What are you going to do with them people that's raptured? You mean to tell me they don't have any part in the first resurrection because they didn't go down in the grave? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Let's get it straight now so I won't be confused. If you're going to teach me, I want you to teach me right. What we're going to do with them? Them didn't go down in the grave. That means they're not in the first resurrection. Is that right? So then it can't be accounted for like that. Is that right? So that annuls that idea altogether. So then from the grave came Christ Jesus, the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that don't have to sleep. He still has part in the first resurrection. Is that right? The man that don't have to sleep, that's raptured, as you say, he still has part in the first resurrection. Is that Bible? All right, so then we are part of the first resurrection. That's why we don't have to sleep. The first resurrection. So Jesus is caught away. Nobody sees him. That's why they don't account for it as the first resurrection, because it's not given to the world. The world don't catalog it as the first resurrection because they don't see it. And they won't catalog it as the first resurrection until they see it, which is after the tribulation period when the Bible said he comes back on white horse and all of us come back with him. That first resurrection that rose up with Calvary, they don't see him until he comes back after the tribulation. They said, there he is, that first resurrection. But see, beloved, we see him. We're in that first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in that first resurrection. Hallelujah. He triumphed victoriously. That's why they are both wrong. And they should get together. Because in what they call the rapture, that is only part of the first resurrection. Is that right? It is the first resurrection. But it is not recognized until after the tribulation period. So they need to get it all together and stop fighting and feuding with each other and realizing that God has blinded them both in part because they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds and won't surrender to the Word. Jesus is the first resurrection, and it's not accounted for until after the tribulation period. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now if you'll leave off doctrine and just preach divine healing, you'll have this tent filled up. If I'd leave off the Bible and just have a good football game and a gay 90 show, I'd have it filled more than up. Amen. We didn't come to fill the tent up. The Bible, I've heard ministers say, well, I don't preach any doctrine. You know why? They're of the devil. That's why they don't preach any doctrine. The Bible said, who can I teach doctrine? The Bible said they continued in the doctrine.
Is that right?
What is the doctrine? The Word of God. Not some discipline.
It's all right to write disciplines. It's all right to have bylaws. But brother, when your bylaws and disciplines go contrary to the Word of God, you've taken life away from people. You've rejected the cornerstone and you've taken away the key to life. Is that right? So then what we need to do is get to the words of life and make our discipline work with the words of life and not the words of life work with our discipline. Come on now. I ain't against nobody. I ain't bothering nobody or fighting nobody. But Jesus told me to come to Charlotte and preach the word. If I'm not preaching the word, send your preacher out and let me have a talk with him. Come on now. Glory to God, I'm glad. Hallelujah! The Bible said the hireling fleeth when the wolf cometh, but send the wolves out. Hallelujah. Send them out and let's have a talk together. I challenge any man in Charlotte, any man anywhere in the world to prove that wrong. God's word is right. We are looking for the resurrection. And it's nigh at hand, my beloved friend. The kingdom of God is close to you, and men is using doctrines and disciplines to blind you, to keep you away from the waters of life. Shake yourself loose from it. Don't listen to gossip. Don't listen to those things. When you find something that don't line up with the word of God, whether it's your mother, whether it's your preacher, whether it's your granddaddy, it doesn't matter if he's a preacher or a deacon and been one for 45 years. It doesn't make any difference. Brother, when the word says something, that's the way it is. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah. All right. I want you to stand with me. I think I must have kept some of them a little long. Some of them slipped out on me or either got too hot or don't know which it was. You can't accuse them. Sometimes you lose good fish when you're fishing. Hallelujah. I've landed some big ones. They got away. Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. A lot of times you go back and catch them, you know it's the same ones because they still got the hook in the mouth. They just popped the line, that's all. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Hallelujah! Glory to God! That's what makes me happy. I feel Him in my soul. Praise God. If we'll quit fussing and fighting and love one another and get together and say, now look at here, brother, such and such, if this ain't right, then tell me what it is. Show it to me in the Word. Show it to me in the Word. You know what's wrong? I made this statement a lot of times. It ain't the people. It ain't the sheep of God. It's these ministers that's running around at button heads like a bunch of goats all the time. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean button heads like a bunch of goats? Every time they try to prove their point, they're not button heads like a goat. Every time they try to prove their point, they're button heads like a goat. When they go to prove the word of God, that's the way a ram does it. One good lick and you're out of the picture. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when a big ram backs up and gives you one good lick, you're done for. Bust your ribs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so it's not the sheep. That's not what the problem is. It's the shepherds. When we all realize that He, Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, shall one day appear. He, the Word of God, the revelation of Christ, the chief cornerstone that the builders have rejected. That He's going to come down here and head this thing up and pull all these lively stones together. When we begin to realize that, then something will begin to happen. All right, saying this in closing while you stand now. I have been instantaneously in my spirit translated in the kingdom. And I got over the Red Sea, as we say, for a formulated thought pattern, you know. But then there's a transformation, Paul said, that starts in my mind. And that is a progressive thing from light to light, from glory to glory, from word to word. That takes time. You go through the wilderness of that old intellectual wandering. Be you therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then the next step is Thessalonians, instantaneous change. For that being the redemption of the body, for I shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's another quick work. Through the wilderness wandering, and they've got lost out there and got bit by the serpents. You know why? They mumbled against Moses. That's where the problem is. All right, so they died because of the unbelief, and those things was written for our admonition upon whom of the ends of the world come. See, they wandered, they died in the wilderness. The earth, the old body, the dust swallowed them up. Lust swallowed their souls up. You understand their reasoning. But hallelujah. I said, Brother Pike, you must be against these churches. No,
I preach for the Church of God. I preach for the Congregational Holiness. Preach for the UPC. Preach for the Catholic. Preach for the Baptist. Sure. Preach to them all, Church of Christ. I'm not against the people. I'm against anything contrary to the Word of God. Show me anything in those denominations that is with the Word of God, I'm for it. Show me anything in there that's against the Word of God, I'm against it. Show me any man that's filled with the Spirit leading the people, I'm for him. Show me a man that's not filled with the Spirit trying to lead the people because he's got an office, I'm against him. He ain't got no business in there. You understand what I'm saying? The serpents have climbed up into the upper lintel. They've got into the high places. So then I love God's sheep. I'm here in Charlotte trying to tell them about Jesus. You say, what do you mean about Jesus? I've heard about Jesus before. Folks, that's Jesus. The Word is Jesus. When somebody tells you the Word, they'll tell you about Jesus. If they come up here and just say, Jesus, 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 the Bible said, many shall come in my name. But so that ain't the right way. That ain't the right way. So then to tell you about Jesus is to tell you about the Word, what the Word says. All right, God bless you. I know I've kept you a little long tonight. Didn't intend to do that. But I just felt that this is the way that God wanted it. How many want it the way God wants it? You know, a lot of times taking a few minutes like this may save our life. Did you know that? I said the other night, Hezekiah giving a few minutes to God got 15 years. You take 15 minutes away from God, you may lose 15 years. So then this might be the answer to your problem. This might bring your healing. This might free you from some doubt. This might save your life. It might make you more aware. It might bring you longer life. That's right. Shorten your days by your disobedience. A lot of church members are dying right out because they're disobedient. So then we know the truth. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can you bow your heads with me as I pray for you? I love you tonight, and I'm not scolding you. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. Show the house of Jacob of their transgressions. Now somebody would say, Brother Pike, you can't show the church where they're transgressing. The Bible said, show them where they transgress. You say, but I fasted. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. Somebody said, I went on a 10-day fast. That's fine. But the Bible teaches that that's not what God favors. You should fast. The minister should fast often. Should pray always. Meditate in his laws day and night. But wherefore have we fasted, say thee, and thou takest no notice? Said you don't fast for the right purpose. Sure, we're not fasting to be big evangelists. Not fasting to get on TV. We're not fasting to take up $30,000 in the offering. We're not fasting to try to be an Elvis Presley. We are fasting for the glory of God and the deliverance of the people. To try to help them, not to bleed them of every dollar and every dime. I appreciate every dollar and every dime because I have a tremendous load to carry. Brothers and sisters, I'm expecting God to meet my need, not you. I appreciate it when God moves on your heart to help me. So shall men give into your bosom according to the Holy Scriptures. For the preparation of man's heart is from God. But I'm looking to Jesus. He promised. If I've got faith in God, God will do it. If I don't have faith in God, I need to close shop because that's what I'm preaching to you is faith. And the husbandman must first be partakers thereof. If I don't have enough faith for my own needs, why should I pray off of you and squeeze every dollar you got trying to say that God's meeting my needs? God wants you to give because he wants to meet your needs through giving. But he wants me to give that he might meet my needs through the same principles. I have to give too for God to meet my needs. A lot of times men that receives millions of dollars, you don't realize how much they give away. I know the lives of some of the great men that's got millions of dollars. And I happen to know by some means of the many hundreds of thousands of dollars that they have turned toward God's work and given freely to others. That's why they have it. But faith in God. Faith in God. Have you got faith? Have you got faith? God bless you tonight. May God heal you tonight. May God help you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's slip our hands up together, can we? Slip your hands up with me just for a moment. while I take just a minute, I'm going to let you go. I know it's hot. God bless your hearts. I know it's hot. But I tell you what, it's going to be hot. And get out under the tent. It ain't going to be cool out there either. And you won't even be hearing the word of God. I got a little saying, you know, say, keep cool. Just be cool, they said. I don't know no way to do that but to stay out of hell. The word of God's the only thing that can keep you cool. Amen. They're going to really wish they was cool. It's going to be a hot day for them. Let's just close our eyes together. Slip our hands up. And I want to pray for you. I'll pray for you tonight. Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Hallelujah. Satan is as bold as a lion. But he's not really a lion. He just goes about roaring like one. But Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. When a lion roars, he doesn't give any ground, beloved. Satan will roar, but if you get on his toes, he'll back up. But when a lion roars, he doesn't back up. Come what may, he doesn't give any ground. Big or little, he doesn't give any ground. Because he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah, he's the king of the jungle. He knows he's the king. He roars, and everybody knows he's the king. When Jesus roars, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the entire forest shakes. Hallelujah. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Hallelujah. He's here tonight. I feel him, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. God bless you. I'm not against you, and I'm not against your church. If you're getting food from your church, you hang on. If you got a good pastor, you hang on to him. But you be bold as a lion. And when he gets off of the word of God, if God sends the word of God through and you hear it, you go to him and say, my good brother, God bless you. I love you. But the word of God says such and such. I'm fortunate the Lord has made me to know. I want to help you. Because there's children of God in those churches. Hallelujah. You know, you have to build a fence around the house when you're raising children. Isn't that right? That's why you got so many denominations. Have to build a fence to keep the children out of the road. They'll get run over by every doctrine. But you know, when that kid gets big enough to climb the fence and play with the neighbors, you might as well forget about the fence. He's going to climb over it anyway. It's all right for the children. Just don't bother the children. Let them stay in there. It's all right. But you're going to get up, get out, get married, and get a family of your own. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Same way with raising little chicks. Put your little baby chicks over here, and then you have to, when they get to be brawlers, you have to put them over here. Don't they'll trample the little ones to death. And then they get to be big hens, you have to put them over here. You know, fry and size and then pullets and right on up. Keep them separated. That's why they got the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal. God's got to grade them and keep passing them on through. But after a while, you can just turn them loose on the barnyard and let them go. Don't have to keep them in a crate. That old rooster will throw up his head in the morning. He knows where home is. He'll start hollering, won't he? Sure, that hen, when she gets ready to lay that egg, she knows where her nest is. You don't have to put her in a fence. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, tonight as we stand here with this wonderful people, I thank you for the people of Charlotte. Such beautiful people, Father. I know there's many that's weary, many that's drunk, many, dear God, that's taken with the ill winds of life. But I also know, Jesus, that some of them are precious. And could they be delivered, Holy Father, they would walk right. But they're in a prison and they're looking for a light. And oh, Jesus, thou art the light of the world. And Jesus, you said when you went away, we are the light of the world. And dear God, tonight we're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And we're the light of the world tonight, Jesus. Let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Tonight, Father, these precious people that have come out here, dear God, they sat patiently to hear the word of God. And oh Lord, I pray that their understanding has been enlightened, that they might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the widths of thy word and understanding. And I ask you tonight, Father from heaven, heal tonight, Jesus. Hear my words tonight, Father, and heal tonight.
And dear God, if there's cancer here tonight, move it. And dear God, I curse it in the name of Jesus. And dear God, if there's any kind of disease here tonight, I curse it in the name of Jesus tonight. And I speak divine deliverance and divine healing tonight to sick bodies. Dear God, to tired, weary bodies, I speak strength tonight. Let the weak say that I'm strong, you said in your word. I'll be strong in the power of your might. I want you to heal tonight that one that cannot breathe properly tonight. I want you to open up their lungs tonight and let the breath of fresh air go deep into those lungs tonight. By faith, Jesus. Hallelujah. And heal and save and forgive. If there's one tonight, God, that needs forgiveness of their sins, I pray tonight they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, you'll forgive their sins tonight and take away their sins tonight. Grant it, Jesus. Grant it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take away their sins tonight. Heal their sick bodies. Make them strong in the power of your word in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you feel better? Let's sing this little chorus together before I let you go. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Sing it one more time. We will wait upon the Lord and renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint.